A lady by the name of Ellen G. White said, "Talk unbelief and you will have unbelief, but talk faith and you will have faith. According to the seed sown will be the harvest." And you know, the message, what I want to share with you this morning, you know, for those of you that are doing the Gospel of John, this will sound familiar because we're going to open to a passage of Scripture in John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. And the reason why I referred to Ellen's quote is because we live in a word-based creation. This universe is word-based. And so we want to share that with you this morning. John chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." And in our New King James translation, it capitalizes the W because the translators, the scholars that put this together, recognize that this was referring to Jesus, referring to God and deity, and specifically Jesus. So in the beginning was Jesus. And what is this beginning? It's the beginning, as we're going to see, of him, his creating time, space, and matter. Energy, the laws, the physical, and the power in this universe, energy, and the design of the universe, and time itself that we all live in. Some of you are thinking, what time is service over? It's time to go get some catfish, you know, or something. We're time-based. We think of that because of this creation. In the beginning when God created this, because God existed outside of that. Wednesday nights, wait till you hear some of that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So we see a reference to, because in the beginning, where everything's created, again, we'll see the context of this. If the Word, whose capital W is, who is God, was with God, we see the Trinity. So the Word is not God the Father. He was with God. And then it says the Word was God. So there's the Trinity. There's two persons of the Trinity right there. And when you connect the first chapter of John and you go back to the first chapter of Genesis, you'll see the Holy Spirit's involvement in creation. And you'll see all three persons of the Godhead. But it says the Word was God. The New Testament does claim that Jesus is God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. There is a revelation in here that we miss, and this is where I mean, what I mean by this is a word-based universe. That this creation is the result of a mind, of an intelligence, who used words to be able to create it. That's important to have an understanding of the reality for your worldview of what you believe and what you understand, because it's word-based. How are we going to operate in this? And you got to have another understanding. This is super important because we live in a fallen world. So this word-based universe and design, as we've learned, has fallen, so there's problems. It's not the way he made it. So it's even more important to understand it, because it's how we can navigate in this universe, in this world, and have a successful life. And I'm not talking about self-help type things, but in a sense it is. But I mean, to just successfully live in this broken world, in God's will, and having God's plan fulfilled in your life. Every one of you can testify of things God helped you do supernaturally. you know, where he just came through. He injected himself in miracles and so on. It's a word-based universe, and faith is the is like the currency of heaven. It's the way to please God. It's the way to, as we learn, to get the promises of God to come into place, come into effect. Because God, in creating all this, this word-based, says, in the beginning was the Word. Why didn't it say, in the beginning was the Son? In the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was Yeshua. In the beginning was the Christ. Or in the beginning was the Messiah. Why did it not say that? And then it said, in the beginning was the Word, but then and the Word was with God, and then the Word was God. Why not just make it short and just say, in the beginning was God? Because the emphasis here is in the beginning was the Word. Everything is based on the Word. And the Word, and knowing the Word, knowing the which is the will of God. The Word is a person, but the Word also became flesh and dwelt among us, and we're getting to know the Word by hearing His own words and hearing things about Him, the Word, hearing words about what the Word did, so that we can be able to have those things and know that person and operate in that system. Because what happens is we get materialistic, and that's what happened to this young man and why his faith went shipwrecked. And over again he talked about, you can't prove it with provable, tangible evidence. You just, all you Christians are going to resort to, well, I just believe it. And when we talk on Wednesday, just to give you a little insight, little idea, because this connects and we'll talk about this. This kind of thing we can get into on the Wednesday nights. It can be good, stimulating, interesting, challenging. Science can't prove the universe, the cosmology of the universe either. Because science, by definition, is observation of the evidence of what you can see, observing it, how it works, how it interacts, how it relates, and then by constant observation and testing and doing that and repetition, then you can establish things from a hypothesis to a theory, you know, to a hypothesis to a postulate to a theory to a law. Okay? But when it comes to that, you can't observe that. But science caught up last century. This is a new century. Well, you know, we're 20 years in now. But just last century, because how many of you still sometimes think 2000-something. Not a lot of us do that anymore. 20 years in, we're okay. Every once in a while, I think 19, you know. How many of you have still said, catch up to the 20th century, and then somebody has to tell you, this isn't the 20th century. This is the 21st century, has been for 20 years. It was just last century. It was just in the 1930s. Well, no, 1920s. 1929 was when Edwin Hubble came up with the theory, and they named his telescope after him, about the universe having a beginning. Now, we just saw in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. We're that far into John 1, right? So in the beginning, God created. So in the beginning, there was God. But in the beginning of the universe, in the beginning of space and time and matter, of energy, of the physical laws of the universe, God did it. Now science, up until 19, there's a couple scientists that started to believe that the universe had a beginning. And the vast majority of scientists, brilliant people, you know, 1920s science, it was in the 1600s and 1700s when science began to be birthed, by the way, by Christians. Modern science is attributed to Christians like Galileo. They're scientists who began to study because what they read in the Bible, and believers in God, and it's the birth of modern science. Galileo, Kepler, and others. And they began to postulate this. And scientists had a fit because they said, in opposition to the word, the universe has always been. And a lot of them didn't buy into the creation, the beginning of a universe, even until the later part of the last century. And they finally came to a consensus at the end of the 20th century, just 20, 30 years ago. About 30 years ago. So they started to really all agree and give in to it. They fought it. Why did they fight it? Because that cosmology of the universe having a beginning, the Bible said it. And so they wanted to be on the opposite side of it, and so they believed something different. They couldn't witness it, but they were able to say, well, the universe, it's just always been. There's no one that was there but God. Right? So all you can look at is the physical, that's science, the physical creation, the physical universe. And then you have to draw from studying that your own conclusions of what makes the most sense, because no one was there. So there is no science that proves these things when they say this. You look at the evidence, which is what we can see, what we can examine, what we can study. You make, based on that, the best decision you can. And when they had to give in, when they first started talking about this, and Einstein's theory of relativity is what really fueled it. So that's why I say it went later into the 20th century, then toward the end, that's when scientists all finally gave in, because they couldn't fight the evidences they were seeing for a creation, because see, energy is dissipating. This is the second thaw of thermodynamics, and I didn't mean to get into, but this okay. This is going to give you a little appetizer for that. This is the faith in the Bible, and this is important. Even though you may not memorize all the things that I'm saying, because it gives you the confidence to say, "I believe in something for a reasonable. It's reasonable, my faith, yeah. And it's just as reasonable as what you believe." I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty and details of it, but let me just say that they opposed a birth of a universe so much that a scientist called it, well, you just are trying to say when these guys in the early part of the 20th century, in the 20s, it was not even this far in, it was 27 and then 29, you know, when Hubble really advanced some theory. Then Einstein came along, and over the 40s and into the 50s, they really started to look at it, and then by the 80s, they were starting to buy in. But in the beginning, a scientist says, you just believe in a big bang. Did you know that was mocking that theory of the origin, the cosmology of our universe? It was mocking it, but now they call it the big bang. But it was actually to deride it. But now scientists embrace it, and they refer to what was a scientist saying, the universe always existed. You just believe in some big bang and it all happened. But see, the Bible had revealed that there was a beginning, a creation of the universe. That the second law of thermodynamics, that energy, there's only so much energy in the universe, and it's dissipating. They studied and saw that the universe is expanding, and can look at that in science and study that and see the expansion of the universe. But the problem is, when you go backwards, if it's expanding and you can start seeing the rates of expansion, when you go backwards, then that means there was a beginning. Because it's expanding. It had a beginning, because all you got to do, if you expand a rubber band, all you got to do is contract it back. Mm-hmm. And then there's a beginning, a creation, a Big Bang. So what did they do? They had to come up with something, and so they said the Big Bang, and they said, and this is what, listen to me, folks, this is why this is important. Young men like this are having their faith made shipwreck, because people are being taught things that are contrary to our faith. But our faith is not without reason. God said, let us reason together. And he said, you just have blind faith. No more blind than your faith as an atheist or a scientist or whatever. It's just as blind by what you're trying to say. You just believe it. And here's what I mean by that. Modern scientists, modern evolutionists and scientists that study the origins, again, that's just a word called, that's a science word, not a theological word, cosmology. You know what they believe? That yes, it had a beginning, and they've actually just recently had a discovery because of the telescope named after Edwin Hubble, who had this theory in 1929. They named the telescope that can see deep into the universe, because it's out in space and can, you know, penetrate further than anything we've ever had. People started looking, and again, what does the Bible say? Remember, you know, I don't have time. You know, there are scientists who looked at things in the Bible and then discovered them, like the streams, the currents of the ocean, because the Bible spoke about those. It spoke about mountains. Everybody thought it was a sand, just like in a lake, you know, or when you go on a beach and there's sand usually. They just figured the ocean was, but there's mountains and there's springs and there's currents in the ocean. And a scientist back in the 70s, I think it was, studied that because he read it in the Bible, and then he discovered it. Well, God said he created everything. And here's what they believe. They're telling us out of nothing came everything. And they're trying to redefine what the word nothing means. Because there's no scientific basis. You talk about blind faith? I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Out of nothing came everything? It just exploded. And I started to say, the Hubble telescope just recently discovered, because a scientist said, wait a minute, if there was a beginning and the universe is expanding, then you should be able to go back and see the beginning, and you should be able to see, because it would be energy, you should be able to see the warmth. You know, after something happens, explosion, there's heat, and it gets cooler and cooler and cooler over time. And they have looked with infrared technology and different things that they've done, and they have found what they believe is the beginning. And it's a reduced amount of heat, but they can see the heat in that part of the universe, this glow, this red, the residual of where it happened. It's just some interesting stuff. But here's what it is. They believe that happened out of nothing, created that. It just happened. And enough Christian scientists and reasonable people said, are you kidding me? Remember when they used to say two atoms collided and they became a cell? And that cell split and became two, and they split, and now we have everything? And they still believe that, but they know that, well, it had a beginning, so there couldn't be cells. So now they're saying, scientists, brilliant people, out of nothing came everything. One scientist, one of the most brilliant minds on this planet, said nothing rolled over into something. And yet these kids and adults that hear this kind of stuff have believed, well, that's just logic. That's just science. So the Bible is faith-based and can't be relevant. Do you see the faith to believe that out of nothing rolled over everything? See, what the Bible said is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was in the beginning, and all things are created by the Word, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3 tells us the beginning of this Word-based creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And then it says in verse 3, and God said. And over for the rest of chapter 1 in the creation is this referencing that creation in John 1 to Genesis 1 is, and this is what we believe, that God created time. He created matter. He created space. And He created energy. As a matter of fact, people have been around for a while know that I science looks at things to say something that you really know. It has to have five elements: time, energy, force, space, and matter. And in the beginning, time, God, force, created energy, the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. The Bible has given an answer to where everything comes from. What do we believe? We believe the Word. And what's more reasonable? That outside of this universe, that something, because see, they said nothing, and nothing became something. We believe that before everything that we look at, this universe, was something. You could say someone. And this mind, who's not limited, this being, who's not limited by time, energy, force, space, and matter, He's outside of all of that, created that, and within Him is all of it. So what have they done? Because scientists have brilliantly come up by studying the universe and giving scientific basis for so many things that the modern scientists have not only come to the point where they just say something rolled into nothing rolled into something, or they'll say out of nothing came something, and they define nothing. It's like nothing is nothing. And everybody that has any kind of common sense knows that it's faith. But here's what they came up with, because our universe has a design. It's word-based. And even in the creation of life, DNA, the discovery of DNA, has given scientists a fit, because there's thousands of markers. And you know how many words, how many thousands of words you can come up with from a 26-letter alphabet? But DNA has thousands of markers, which comes out to trillions of options. It's beyond anything. I mean, it's just remarkable. And that's an accident. It would be like believing that you go into the dining room or the kitchen in the morning, and on the table is a box of alphabet cereal, and spilled on the table is some of the alphabet cereal. And amongst all the pieces of alphabet cereal, all these letters, you see, take out the trash, love mom. Now, you and I know that there was something behind that. The box didn't fall over and just have take out the trash, mom, or love mom. That's reasonable. We know that words were put together, letters were put together to form words, and words have a meaning. We'll get into some detail of this, of why we believe, because I'm talking about who we believe in, the creator of it all. And this universe, this world that we live in, it's word-based, and faith is an important part of that. And maybe that's what God's going to do, because it's going to continue our faith on a on a level that's going to be very factual based and reasonable and help you. And Sunday mornings are going to be some new things. Maybe that's what God's doing. It won't be the subject of faith, but it's producing faith. And that will be intertwined in all of it because you're looking at these competing worldviews. So let me just say this because we got to wrap it up this morning. I'm going to give you a couple verses. We're going to finish that and a few principles. And this is this. They say out of nothing came everything, but now the arguments and the science, the fact of all these things that show design. And the problem is that evolution that they still believe in, that Darwin is the father of it, and it goes beyond into all kinds of new things, but the Darwinian evolution that grew into all these other things still believes that the lower turned into the higher form. And yet the whole universe shows that everything is decaying. Again, second law of thermodynamics. Everything's decaying. The universe is running out of energy. It's running out of, time. And it may be a long time, but they can see that. And that goes against everything they believe. And that design can't be an accident. And they've come against that. Bam, bam, bam. So many times. But here's their new thing. This is what the most modern, brilliant minds in the world believe. We're talking about different worldviews. What do we believe? I hope this morning, just a little tidbit. Man, I didn't have intention of doing this. I didn't even study this. God just gave it to me, an hour ago while we were singing. So by the Spirit of God, He's given us a direction and something to have confidence in what we believe. We don't have to be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what I believe in the Word of God. I have reason to believe what I believe. And it's reasonable. I have a reason because it's reasonable. It's not just what this kid has been told and is parroting. And then he's telling Christians, you're parroting. And he doesn't get Christians believe something and they just won't depart from it. They just believe it because they believe it. And he's doing the very same thing. And they don't get it. Here's what the modern scientists believe. The multiverse. It's not just DC and Marvel. Modern scientists literally believe, if you watch DC, the Flash and all the universes they have, Marvel and the universes and things, science fiction, in other words. Now it's modern science. They believe in the multiverse. They believe in an infinite number of parallel universes. And they do that to explain our universe that has such detail and design. And they know, when you just study mathematics, which is a principle that goes beyond anything in creation, it is what it is. It's the most truest, purest form of science. And that mathematics will tell you that it just can't be. So what they did was they just said, okay, there's a multiverse. There are infinite numbers of parallel universes, and when you have infinite numbers of parallel universes that all started, not just our universe now in the Big Bang, but all the infinite numbers of universes without number, beyond anything we can comprehend or count, all started and were created at that same moment. Not just one, an infinite number. And in that infinite number, because they know this about math, the purest form of science, it can always be tested and it always comes out right. That one, in an infinite number, because in science, in mathematics, you don't say it's impossible. You say it's improbable. So they knew that it's so statistically improbable, we would say, that is so far, it's really impossible. But by being loyal and faithful to it, that it's improbable, they created the multiverse theory with no evidence whatsoever and said that out of one, you could expect design to randomly happen. appear in randomness just because of mathematical, that one in 100 gazillion trillion, it can happen. And we just happen to live in the one that's in the 100 gazillion trillion universe. That's science, folks. Now tell me, who has more faith? Tell me whose worldview is based more on blind faith when there is no tangible, observable evidence for nothing becoming anything, because nothing in this universe, nothing in science has ever been able to study anything like that. That you can't even create an amoeba, let alone. You haven't ever observed anything like that. Transitional forms, all the different things. Or to believe that in the beginning there was someone who created the beginning, created time, energy, force, space, and matter. The Bible has said it all along for thousands of years. And modern science has just come to accept it because of what the universe reveals when you study the universe. And it shows that it had a beginning. And they reluctantly, they fought it. You wouldn't believe how much they fought it. So it took until the end of the 20th century, what they started to theorize in the 1927 and then 1929. They finally come around, and now in the 2000s, they've come up with nothing created it, and it's actually okay that it all appears to have such amazing design because of the multiverse. Do you feel better about what you believe today? Do you feel more confident to be able to say, my faith is reasonable? So let's just finish with that. Let's finish with that. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. And then we said, everything was made. In verse 3, verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. See, the creator of this universe is a person. It's clearly a designer who designed everything, but he's a person. And he's light or revelation. And this creator reveals himself to us. The light shines in darkness. And sometimes people in the darkness, they don't comprehend it. Is that not everything that I've said today? That there are people who are living in darkness, and some of them who sadly are choosing darkness. And they believe in things by faith, just like you and I do. And don't let anybody tell you that they don't. And we're not going to have it like you're going to go to Oxford or Cambridge University and study cosmology on that level, but we're going to give you some really cool things. Some things pretty cool already. I can see some people excited. Some people aren't. Folks, why did Genesis start with the revelation of the creation? Why did Job 37 talk about the creation? Why did Jesus refer to the creation? Why does the Gospel of John, which most people say, if you're going to pick a gospel, pick John. That's why we picked John 3 weeks in there. They're all important. They're all great. Each has its own things. But John is special. If you're going to start a new believer out, start him in John. If you really want to get to know Jesus, read John. And so here you have the first book of the Bible, starting out with the creation. And you have the gospel that talks about Jesus in the New Testament, starting out with creation. Can we conclude that getting this understanding will help you to have your whole worldview right? Because we understand that God created everything, so he's worthy of our worship, our praise, our faith, our living life for, and it's word-based. We see that in Genesis 1, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. And then we see it summarized in John 1, he was the Word. The Word was made flesh, and the Word created everything, and it calls him the Word to say that he did it by words. This universe, in all of our understanding of it, it's word-based. It's a mind, a creator. And that makes more sense when you study it than anything that even the most modern scientists are trying to propose. And all of the astrophysics and all the other stuff, and when you get that understanding right, it just makes sense. And he's a person that created everything and wants to have a personal relationship with you. And they say, how can some God who created everything be interested in just trivial us? That's what's so profound. But this gives you cosmology. It gives you the origins. It answers it thousands of years before man in their scientific discoveries came up with. It had that truth all along. And that ought to tell you something. And then it says, with that attached, the Word became flesh. How many of you remember God connects through Jesus? It's the Word. I mean, you're doing a lot of big words today. Hypostatic union. The connection. What Jesus did was bridge the gap between humanity and God. God had to become flesh. He had to become life, and that's dropping down in this chapter. And in what he did, he reconnected us to God. And only God could do it, but he had to do it as a man. And that's hypostatic union, connecting what was broken. It all makes sense, and it's reasonable to believe what we believe. And John bore witness of it, and he was the true light. In verse 6, I got to wrap it up. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The man came to be a witness, for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him, the light, the Word, Jesus, because he's metaphorically identified as two things now, the Word and his light, and that, that all might believe that light, that this man came to bear witness of it, that all through him, the light or the Word, Jesus, might be, people might believe. He was not that light, John, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Not only did he create the world, but he gives life to every person who's born into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So the Creator came, and the world didn't know him, and the one who gave the law and created a separated chosen people, they didn't know him. But as many as received him, so out of them, out of the world, out of them, as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. And those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And they literally did. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They saw the glory of God in the person of Jesus, and I got it in. So this is a Word-based creation. And our faith, and we'll see what next Sunday holds, but our faith has got to be based in the Word. God's never wrong, even when science has been wrong. And they can mock you and do everything, and you have some reasons if you come on Wednesdays to give them some answer back to a lot of that stuff. But I don't care if they mock me and say, well, you do that. You just need a crutch. I do. Because broken people, lame people that can't do it on their own, they do need a crutch. They do need a Savior. I'm not good enough. So I do need that. And I believe that we all need that. And that's the fight inwardly. Is we all know, because we've been designed and created in his image. And that's why they fight it so passionately. They're not fighting the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and fairies, Tinkerbell, and Star Trek and Star Wars and DC Universe, they're actually embracing some of the science fiction now and calling it science with no basis. And the reason why is they'll do anything they can to stay in darkness, because if we recognize we see the light, we believe in the light, we recognize that we become accountable to the light. If we believe in the Word, we come accountable to the Word and what He said. And so, folks, as we begin this new day of our life, Sunday of this month, of this year, and of this decade, let's be committed to the Word of God, to learn and to get to know Him, because the Word, as we saw, became flesh. They're talking about Jesus. He's the one that became flesh. He's the one they beheld. And He's worthy of getting to know. And it's reasonable to believe in Him. And we're going to get into historical evidences and scientific evidences and all kinds of interesting things on Wednesday nights if you want to come learn more. But let's close in prayer for now. Father, thank You for Your Word. Your Word, Jesus. And Your Word who became flesh and was made a human being so that we could be reconnected to You. We recognize that He did that through what happened in the Passion and the crucifixion, as we remember that in communion. And we remember that Word, that He is a representative of the Word, that everything in this universe is Word-based. And it became written so that we could read it and that You could speak to us. But Lord, it's not words like other words in any other book. It has an anointing, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is literally alive. It is Your Word, and it is alive, and it can divide between truth and error, between light and darkness, between what is false and what is real. And we thank You, Lord, that we're growing in that. We're growing in our faith. We're growing in our understanding of why we believe what we believe, because You continue to reveal Yourself to us. And we thank You, Lord, that it's not cold and it's not head facts, but it's heart revelation. And it's drawn us closer to You. I sense Your Spirit today, and I pray that You bless everyone who goes forth on this day, that we all leave with the attitude is the beginning of the rest of our lives. And we're excited about that. And we're excited about another promise in the Word, that Jesus is coming back. And we want to live our lives worthy of Him and be ready for that soon return. And we thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.